My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Jesus said, I tell you most solemnly, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but gets in some other way, is a thief and a brigand. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the flock. The gatekeeper lets him in. The sheep hear his voice. One by one, he calls his own sheep and leads them out. Much later on, as our Lord describes how he will take care of his sheep and watch over them, he says to them as well, I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be safe. He will go freely in and out and be sure of finding pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the gate of the sheepfold. And our Lord is inviting us now in prayer to enter by this gate, the gate of his most sacred heart, the gate of communion with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's why we can already put to ourselves that question, how do I strive each day, each moment, to grow in a deeper intimacy with our Lord? As our Lord invites him, each of us, he tells us, come, enter by this gate, the gate of my heart. And reading our Lord's words, we perhaps faintly recall, or we are reminded by that point in the way 281. Silence is the doorkeeper of the interior life. In order to enter the gate, which is you, Lord, there are some conditions. There are certain requirements. And as our Lord's sheep, we long to enter the gate of his sacred heart. But we cannot enter if the doorkeeper or the porter is not at the service of our interior recollection, which makes prayer and supernatural life possible. This is now the commentary on that point of the way, 281. That we cannot enter precisely through that door if the doorkeeper is not at the service of interior recollection, which is very important because through interior recollection, prayer and supernatural life are made possible. Of course, the porter here is not some angel or genie that is like guarding the door. Rather, the porter is each one's heart. We realize that we are the key. Thus, we also ask ourselves, besides wanting to enter your heart, Lord, am I ready to enter it by being a recollected soul? Because if I'm not recollected, if I lack that interiority, then it will not be possible to enter. As I was preparing the meditation, I thought also of the images that are very well familiar to us. For example, like Alice in Wonderland, who in the story would have to enter many, many doors. She had to go through different doors. And to enter one door or another, she was required to either drink a potion or eat a cake or I forget what else, so that she could grow big or she could grow small. Or many other similar stories where the main character is challenged to know how to unlock the key that will open the gate or the door. And very often, sometimes, the person discovers that he or she, the hero or the heroine, is the key himself. I'm the key. I'm the one that's going to open the door. It's not some instrument, it's not some manual, but the person discovers that I am the key to open the door. And to be the key, we ourselves, we have to become not silent, but we have to become silence. And this is the invitation of our Lord. If we want to enter the gate of His heart, we have to become something. A more renowned spiritual author, Guardini, would tell us, the greatest things are accomplished in silence, not in the clamor and display of superficial eventfulness, but in the deep clarity of inner vision, in almost an imperceptible start of decision, in quiet overcoming and hidden sacrifice. As the greatest things are accomplished in silence. And what is the greatest thing that we want to accomplish? Our holiness, to become holy, Lord, to be fruitful in our holiness, to be fruitful in our fidelity, in our self-giving. And the greatest things are accomplished in silence. Moreover, he adds, spiritual conception happens when the heart is quickened by love and the free will stirs to action. The silent forces are the strong forces. Let us turn now to the stillest event of all. Stillness because it came from the remoteness beyond the noise of any possible intrusion. So, everything happens, and the most fruitful things happen if we know how to become silent. It's so easy to say, keep quiet, be silent, but to become silence is the key to recollection. And silence is a disposition, not a mere external condition. Because precisely, sometimes when we think of silence, we equate it with being quiet. As an author would say, it is not enough to stop the movement of one's lips and the movement of one's thoughts. That is only being quiet. Being quiet is a condition for silence. Sometimes we manage to achieve that quietness. When we are doing our prayer, we are in the oratory, in our rooms, and we just try to shut off everything. Perhaps it's the stage, yes, it's a condition of silence. But this author says, but it is not silence. Silence is a word. Silence is a thought. It is a word and a thought in which all words and all thoughts are concentrated. We ask you, Lord, and the Holy Spirit for this grace to discover how we can become silence. Because we need this, as we have just considered, the greatest things are accomplished in silence. And for us, well, we have to ask ourselves, if for me the greatest thing is holiness, and with my holiness, Lord, as an instrument in your hands, fruitfulness. Because if there are other great things for me, besides my holiness, then We don't need silence. We need knowledge, we need productivity, we need skills, we need connections, we need money. That's all there. But for the greatest thing, we have to also determine, am I aware? Is my heart inclined towards this only great thing, which is holiness? And how often now we are encouraged by the Father to consider this and to really focus on our love for our vocation, which is to become holy. And we have to really strive for that. Among the means to that is recollection. And a means to achieve recollection, silence. The gate is opened by the key of silence. Why is that so? Why does the gate open with the key of silence when we become silence ourselves? Because God is also silence Himself. God is also silence. So, as you can imagine, a key that fits the keyhole and all the grooves within, and therefore the door opens. When we are so also in the same combination as God is, but of course we will not become God, but when we have the more or less the qualities that God expects us to have to be able to speak heart to heart, face to face, then the gate opens, the heart of our Lord opens. Listen to this other spiritual author. I'm sure you have heard this once more than in your prayer. God speaks in silence, and silence alone seems able to express Him. For the spiritual person who has known the touch of God, silence and God seem to be identified. And I think this is very true. So sometimes we might ask ourselves, why am I not progressing in my prayer, in my spiritual life as a whole? It seems that things are going through a monotonous motion or a plateau. It's probably this, because we might be still outside of the gate. We have not grown in that intimacy, that one-on-one dialogue with our Lord. And we need this gift. We have to ask for this gift. And so to find God again, where would we go if not to the most silent depths of our soul? Into those regions that are so hidden that nothing can any longer disturb them. And when he has reached there, he preserves with jealous care the silence that gives him God. He defends it against any agitation, even that of his own powers. So how important this quality of our spiritual life is. Only by becoming silence can we enter into the gate, which is the heart of our Lord. And we can imagine that silence is like a mirror that allows us to see God within ourselves. Our task is, with the help of grace, undoubtedly, is to tap this power within us, the power of silence. And once we are able to harness its power, it will be the key to allow us to enter your heart, Lord. Not because we own that power, but Lord, you have given it to us. And you want us to be able to grow in that intimacy through silence. And but we have to remind ourselves that the end goal of becoming silence is not simply precisely to enter. And that's one of the goals there. Enter the heart of our Lord, grow in intimacy. But we also want to achieve the art of recollection. That's very important. Recollection, very often we think of it as a moment, perhaps, that we spend during the day or the week in silence. But another meaning of the word, besides an active reality, has a spiritual consideration of the active aspect of silence, because it seeks to focus our contemplative gaze on what is necessary, the only thing necessary. That's what we want to focus our contemplative gaze upon. And recollection can be compared to a magnifying glass for our spiritual life. Not to magnify something small, but to gather the rays of grace in our soul, and as they are concentrated in one point, inflame our hearts with love for God and the others. I'm sure you had your childhood experience of using a magnifying glass. Perhaps you played with that. I played a lot with a magnifying glass. The incredible capacity of, so to speak, igniting a fire with just the light of the sun without a match. No, before, since fire was something very attractive to a kid, no, so we enjoyed fire, fireworks. No, but now a magnifying glass, I can do so many things, and its power to burn is incredible also. But what does it do really? That's when you put it in the right height and you gather the rays of the sun, that point where all the rays focus become something incredibly powerful. And that's what recollection means, actually, for our spiritual life. Gathering, focusing, so that we collect the rays of grace in our souls and set our hearts on fire. Because sometimes with the lack of recollection, we have so many lights. Oh, well, so many lights. Well, wonderful lights. But we never achieve gathering them to be able to harness that which God wishes to engrave in our hearts, in our minds. And also a purifying effect of recollection. We never get to really detach ourselves from the things of the world because the lights that we gather are so disconnected and scattered. Well, we see one light in prayer, one light in the examination of conscience, one light in the talk, one light in the brief circle, another light here. But there is no gathering of that. That's why to become silence, our Lord is inviting us to also gather these things. The image that comes to our mind right now of gathering is Our Lady and Mary Magdalene, represented in the movie of The Passion of the Christ. At least that struck me, because after our Lord was scourged, was crowned, presented to the mob, and then was being brought to Calvary, Our Lady and Mary Magdalene, they started to trail behind the scene of our Lord's Passion. They even wiped the blood now with a cloth. They gathered the things that were related to his sufferings. So they were gathering. As we value sacred objects and relics, we ought to apply it also to the graces we receive that ought to gradually thread out our identity, our mission. Because without that, as we have said, it will just be all lights, no? Random lights here and there. And the danger there is to think that we are somehow achieving something or growing or progressing. But we never get to recollect these things properly. And this is our Lord's invitation. To enter the gate of His heart, we must be silenced. We must be recollected. Because only by recollection will we really know ourselves better. And when we reach the gate, our Lord will ask us, "Who are you?" Identity is important. How have you loved me? But if we do not know the person asking, and worse, if we do not know ourselves, how can we properly respond to our Lord? As when our Lord asked Saint Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" He addressed him with a name. And Peter returned it also with an identifying mark. "Lord, you know that I love you." So there was that the reciprocity of their conversation. And so we are trying to recollect ourselves, to know ourselves better, to be able to value better the graces of our Lord. Otherwise, as I said, it would be just all lights, but lights that don't seem to focus on anything. They will be just like the lights of a party, a disco, an event, fleeting. Thus we learn from the words of our Lord when he tells Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things." Martha represents precisely the soul that is agitated by many things and fails to live that silence and recollection. But a commentator would say, Jesus rebukes Martha not for being busy in the kitchen after all. She did have to prepare the meal. But for her inattentive interior attitude, betrayed by her annoyance with her sister. In reality, Jesus seems to sketch the outlines of a spiritual pedagogy. We should always make sure to be Mary before becoming Martha. This is the lesson of interior recollection and silence. First, we have to become Mary before becoming Martha. It's not saying one is better than the other, or Martha was doing the wrong thing. Both are necessary. But one has precedence over the other. As we can ask ourselves whether in our spiritual life, what have I really gathered so far? What can I call my personal spiritual treasures? It's very beautiful. Now, there are people who, in their own spiritual journey, they write a diary. Maybe we don't. Maybe you do. But it's important to somehow discover where is this all leading towards. It cannot just be because in some general sense, I want to be holy, I want to achieve fruitfulness. But these are all with a story of its own for the soul as God leads us, as God loves us, as God wants something that also consoles and enriches our souls. And so what have I gathered so far? Am I aware that I'm expected to gather things that are uniquely mine so that I may share them? See how much more our talks, our advice to the others become valued, especially when they come from our personal spiritual experience. If we read them off from a book, from an outline, and say, you know, this is what you can do, what I advise you to do, but we say, you know, in my experience, one occasion, I was doing my prayer and I saw this. Maybe it will help you. There's nothing wrong to say that. We're not saying that we are holier than the other person because we're taking it from our prayer. But I'm sharing something to you that has helped me. That is a treasure that we have gathered, that we have been able to slowly sow and nourish and bear fruit within us. And also we have to identify what are some obstacles, both exterior or interior, that impede me from really engaging this contemplative mode of recollection in my spiritual life, of gathering. And because we have to be very sincere and say, this is what distracts me, or this is what I'm attached to. This is the anxiety now that is eating me, or this is the cause of my fears, my depression, my discouragement, or it is sourced out in anger within me. So we have to find out. It's not enough to simply say, well, I'll just try to recollect. But what impedes it also? What are the obstacles to really go deep, to have some continuity in my spiritual life and itinerary? And sometimes we have to ask ourselves whether we are afraid of becoming silence, whether we are afraid to enter into that recollective spirit. Am I afraid to become silence? Because it will entail greater generosity and detachment and focus on our Lord, who is the gate, who's inviting you and me to enter. And despite that fear, perhaps, or the resistance, I don't want to really go into it full throttle. I don't want to go into it all the way. But are we going to stay out of the gate? Are we just going to wait for something really dramatic to happen in our lives before we start to, you know, sort of respond? But are we right now, with all the graces and blessings we have received through our vocation, our Lord says, I am the gate. Enter through my heart. And to be consoled, to discover that within the gate, I will find that hidden treasure, that pearl of great price. There awaits me in the heart of our Lord greater graces. And that is why Jesus tells Martha, as this spiritual author says, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion. He reminds her of the importance of calming and quieting the soul, so as to listen to one's heart. Christ tenderly invites her, as he invites us now in our prayer, to stop. Sometimes we need to know how to stop. So as to return to her heart, the place of true welcome and the dwelling place of God's silent tenderness, from which she had been led away by the activity to which she was devoting herself so noisily. All activity must be preceded by an intense life of prayer, contemplation, seeking and listening to God's will. And as St. John Paul II says in his apostolic letter, Novo Millennio Innuente, it is important, however, that what we propose with the help of God should be profoundly rooted in contemplation and prayer. Ours is a time of continual movement, which often leads to restlessness, with the risk of doing for the sake of doing. We must resist this temptation by trying to be before trying to do. And this is a very powerful advice from St. John Paul II. The temptation of our time, the risk of doing for the sake of doing, but rather what we have to strive for is to be before trying to do. And like our Father would say, first prayer, then sacrifice, then action. Always, our Father would remind us. And so, if we begin it in the opposite direction, then most likely we will not reach prayer. If we have action first, I'm sure there will be some sacrifice in the process of acting, but we fall into the danger of not praying. The order is very clear for us. So thus, as this author expounds in it with other words, all activity must be preceded by an intense life of prayer, contemplation, seeking and listening to God's will. Well, our Lord is the gate who is inviting us with a tender invitation, the gentle invitation, enter by this gate of my heart. And let us turn to Our Lady, the model of that quiet, silent prayer at the moment of the Annunciation, which she continues all throughout her life, as in many parts of the Gospel we are told that she pondered these things in her heart. Let us ask Our Lady for her help, for her grace, to lead us, to show us, to teach us, so that her example will help us to become silence, a silence that leads to recollection, and a recollection that will be the key to open the heart of God's heart. And in that heart, we shall find our joy, our treasure, our holiness. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede.